I want to invite you once again to turn in your Bible, or if you have your phone on electronic device, I mean you have your Bible on an electronic device, turn to Titus. We're going to start chapter 2 today. Titus chapter 2. Going to read through the first 10 verses here. Titus 2, starting with verse 1. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely, be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself, meaning Titus, must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. I want to go back and look at three statements here. The first one is in chapter 5 at the very end. It says, then they will not bring shame on the word of God. By the way, he's been talking about the way that older men should live, the way they older women should live, the way that younger women should live, then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Then look at verse 8. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. And then the last phrase I want you to focus your attention on is in verse 10. It says, then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. Paul, when he is speaking to Titus, is talking to him about the way that they live, the way these new believers live. You know, one of the things we talked about is in verse 12 of chapter 1. It says, even one of their own men, a prophet from Crete, has said about them, the people of Crete are all liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons. Good reputation to have, isn't it? When we look at this, Paul is saying, You guys are going to be new believers, and people are going to look at you, and they're going to acknowledge by the way that you live these things that we're going to talk about. Martin Luther, in his I Have a Dream speech, he said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, the way that they live before others, and they will see the genuineness of their lifestyle as they are living out their relationship with God." Another thing he said in a sermon called "A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart," he said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. No matter what our age or sex, our lifestyle demonstrates our character, and our character testifies to what the transformation of the Word of God has done in our lives." So let's look at this together. The first one that I want to look at is this description that he goes through here. We live in a way that honors the Word of God. You think about your life. Are you living in a way that honors the Word of God? He talks, first of all, to older men. And he says these things: you are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, love, and perseverance. Qualities that we all know are good and profitable. The question is, not do we talk about these things, but do we actually live these things out? Do we live them out before our family? Do we live them out before our friends? Do we live them out before our coworkers? Do we live them out on a consistent basis before others? Are we showing them the power of the Word of God? Are we showing them that the Word of God is worthy to be honored and dignified, shown to be something that is worthy to be followed? You know, so many times when Jesus was teaching, one of the things that the people said about him as he taught in those moments were that they saw a different kind of authority in the life of Jesus when he taught. He wasn't one who said one thing and did another. He was a person of integrity, and they saw in his lifestyle a sense of authority. Over and over again, you read in the Gospels, they saw him as one who spoke to them with great authority. When you and I live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, we are going to demonstrate by our lifestyle that we honor the Word of God. He said to older men, this is how you live. He says to older women, you are to live in the same way. Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They don't slander others. Another translation has, they're not malicious gossips or heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach what is good. These older women are to train the younger ones in how to live. Now, if you grew up in a culture, as the writer says here, as this prophet has said, the people of Crete are all liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons. You would not know how to live. It's kind of like where we are today, isn't it? When individuals live and they act out criminal things, what do they say? They say to others, this is how you live. This is how you function in a society. But notice what Paul is saying to Titus. No, that's not how we are to live. We are to live in such a way that others would look at us and they would look at the Word of God and there would be a great sense of honor. He talks about how the older women would train the younger women to what? Love their husbands, to love their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. All of these qualities that he has now gone through serve to do one thing. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. They're going to be individuals whose life is an example of how to live out the Word of God. As you and I look at our life, think about this quote. It's been quoted so many times, there's so many people it's attributed to. You're the only Bible that some people ever read. If the Word of God is to be honored, it's to be honored not by what we say, but what we do. How we live our life is a testimony to how we honor the Word of God. And it's a testament to others of our belief in God. How are you living before others today? Are you living in a way that brings honor to the Word of God? When something comes up, you know, a lot of times, when the preacher shows up, everybody hides their alcohol. I remember I was doing a wedding and I went to the reception and it was in Steamboat Springs. And everybody catered to me and what they thought I was going to say about them. We don't live a life that caters when certain people come around. Why? Because God is always watching. God is always watching what we do. When we honor His Word through the things that we say, through the way that we live, through the example that we show to others, God records that. He recognizes our willingness to honor that. So, is your lifestyle one that's inviting? Would a person look at you, the way that you live, way that you work, the way that you honor God with your resources, the way you serve, would they look at that and honor God? Would it be something that's inviting to them or something that would push them away? There's a second thing that I want us to look at here when he talks to young men. We live in a way that discredits our enemies? Are we living in a way that discredits the negative things people have to say to us? It says here in this passage, it says, young men are to be sensible, or to live wisely, to show themselves to be examples of good deeds. They are to be pure in their doctrine. It's not to be mixed up with the worldly thought and ideas. It's to be pure. Their teaching is to be pure. They are to be dignified. They are to be sound in speech. They are to do what they say they are going to do. And they are to be beyond reproach. Now, you remember when we talked about this concept of being beyond reproach. It wasn't so much being perfect in every single thing that we do, but are you looked at as a person whose lifestyle demonstrates more often than not that you are a follower of God? That you are a good person. And I don't mean that from the world's perspective. I mean it from God's perspective. Are you the kind of person that demonstrates by your lifestyle a kind of change, a kind of transformation that has taken place in your life because you follow God, you follow what His Word says, so that someone else could not discredit your testimony, speak ill of you? Are you that kind of person? You know, when we look at the life of Daniel, we see an individual who lived his life in such a way that when his enemies gathered together and were planning to discredit him, it says in the Word of God in Daniel chapter 6 that those people who had gathered together, who had a meeting about Daniel, and they were looking for a way to discredit him, this is what they said. They could not discredit him by the way that he lived. The only way they could discredit him was by picking out something in his religion. This is when they said, let no one else pray to any other god. What was the first thing that Daniel did? He opened the shutters. He opened them so people could see that he was living a life that was pleasing and it was honoring to God. He wasn't going to bow down to the mandates of the world. And the thing we need to acknowledge here is Daniel was not living among a group of people that were excited about the lifestyle of Daniel. We're living in a world today that's not excited about you and I being Christians, living our life in such a way that pleases God. They look at that and they will say over and over again how we are duped, or, we think we're better than them. But the reality is, we know what God says about us. It really doesn't matter what men or women say about us. It matters what God says about us. And if God was looking at Daniel and approved of the way that he lived, even though it was in opposition to what he had been told to do, Is God going to do the same thing in our day? Absolutely. He's going to honor those who live their life in a way that keeps their enemies from moving forward or from having a reason to discredit them. It actually discredits the enemy, not you as a person. When you and I live in a way that honors God, like he was saying here, in this way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And then he goes through a list of things that you can do in living your life. And he reminds Titus that teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized in verse 8. Then those who oppose us, those who are against us, those who try to discredit us will be discredited themselves. They'll be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. If someone wanted to discredit you, would they have to use your relationship with the Lord to do it? Because your work ethic demonstrates that you're not working for man, but you are working for God. You are living a life that pleases him and that honors him. You are living a life that says, hey, I'm a believer and I'm not trying to place myself above you. I'm just trying to say I'm living this kind of life because it's the right way to live. It's the right way to follow Christ. It's the right way to do what God wants me to do. The third thing that he mentions here is that we live in a way that adorns the message of the gospel in all ways. Adorns. What does that mean? It's a picture of us living in such a way that as others see us, they see the gospel of Jesus Christ lived out in physical form. Not just simply spoken, not just simply preached, not just simply said, but something that is actually lived. He says here in verse 9, he says, slaves. You might have the word bondservant. It is kind of the lowest picture. It's what Jesus refers to when he says, if you want to be a follower of mine, you must serve first. If you want to be first, you must start by being last. And in that passage, he talks about the fact that the Son of Man himself did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He was living a life that said, you are a person of authority. You are a person who demonstrates what it means to be a follower of God. You are one who shows us how we can follow God. These slaves were to be subject to their masters in everything. They were to be well-pleasing. They were not to be argumentative. They were not to be thieves or pilfering. They were showing all good faith. Why were they doing that? Why did Paul encourage Titus to say to those who were servants. He did it because he wanted to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect, as it says there in verse 10. Who is it that knows the integrity of your work? Who sees the things that others don't see? Who is there? You know, they say character is what we do when no one else is watching. There's always somebody watching, isn't there? God Himself is always watching. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people." How we live demonstrates to others what we really believe about God. How we talk demonstrates to others what we believe about God. How we discipline our children. How we relate to those who are less fortunate than us. All of those are demonstrations of what we feel, what we believe the Word of God teaches us, and then how we are to live that out. When you think about your job, you think about the people at your job, are you one of the best employees? Are you one of the best at what you do? Do you take your job seriously? You know, a lot of times we get to a place when we feel like, you know what? Nobody cares what I do. That's never true for a believer. God always cares the way we live and the way we act. He always cares about how we demonstrate Him to others. And we demonstrate it by our lifestyle, not simply by having the right words. Paul actually mentions to Titus that the way that your teaching is validated, the way that you validate the gospel, is not so much what you say, but what you do. How you live your life before others is the clear demonstration. And when you and I think for just a moment about how we do our job, how we respond when someone says something against us, how we respond when we are put in a situation of difficulty, challenge, that is what ultimately speaks good of the gospel. It's not that God needs us to live to prove that the gospel exists. It's that you and I live and show others that the gospel has transformed us. We live in such a way that says to others, "Hey, I am a follower of Christ. If you see my life, you're going to see me desiring to live a life that is pleasing and that is honoring to God." I mentioned earlier when I talked about Daniel, you and I have the struggle of dealing with catering to the culture of today. We face some of those same temptations. We face the temptation when we think nobody is looking and we can take this or take that. we face that same temptation when others speak ill of us. We face that same temptation when we feel as if I have done all of these things and who sees it? God does. And God will honor our faithfulness in living a way that validates the gospel. And folks, as we are living, we are to live the validity of the gospel. We are to live in such a way that others would see the power of the gospel demonstrated in our life. Paul says to Titus, as you are teaching, live in this way to validate that your doctrine is true and is right. Let's pray together.